In those days, Caesar Augustus issued a decree that a census should be taken of the entire Roman world. This was the first census that took place while Quirinius was governor of Syria. And everyone went to his own town to register. So Joseph also went up from the town of Nazareth in Galilee to Judea, to Bethlehem, the town of David, because he belonged to the house and line of David. He went there to register with Mary, who was pledged to be married to him and was expecting a child. While they were there, the time came for the baby to be born, and she gave birth to her firstborn, a son. She wrapped him in cloths and placed him in a manger, because there was no room for them in the inn. And there were shepherds living out in the fields nearby, keeping watch over their flocks at night. An angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were terrified. But the angel said to them, "Do not be afraid. I bring you good news of great joy that will be for all the people. Today in the town of David, a Saviour has been born to you. He is Christ the Lord. This will be a sign to you. You will find a baby wrapped in cloth and lying in a manger." Suddenly a great company of the heavenly host appeared with the angel, praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace to men on whom his favour rests." When the angels had left them and gone into heaven, the shepherds said to one another, "Let's go to Bethlehem and see this thing that has happened, which the Lord has told us about." So they hurried off and found Mary and Joseph and the baby who was lying in the manger. When they had seen him, they spread the word concerning what had been told them about this child. And all who heard it were amazed at what the shepherds said to them. But Mary treasured up all these things and pondered them in her heart. The shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all the things they had heard and seen, which were just as they had been told.
Well, over these last few weeks, not surprisingly, we've been looking at the nativity stories. And we've tried to pick out some different things by looking at different angles. We've looked at it from the perspective of Joseph, who we saw was a righteous man, who was facing a real dilemma, but he was choosing the right path. We looked at it through Mary, who of course was blessed by God and chosen to bear the child, Jesus. Last week at our carol service, we were thinking a bit about angels. And this week, we're thinking about the shepherds. Now, are they sort of unnamed bit part players in this scene? Are they just there so that nativity plays actually have a good number of characters? Well, hopefully not. I don't know whether about you, but at Christmas you always end up watching the same things, don't you? It always used to be The Great Escape on New Year's Day. I don't know whether it's actually on again this year. I hope so, because it must be years since I've seen it. And we always end up watching that horrible film, Love Actually. And so you won't be surprised to know that in that film they have a nativity scene. And the two children are really excited that they've been allocated parts. And one of them is the lobster. Not just any lobster. In fact, he's actually only the second lobster. And you think, well, what on earth has the nativity play got a lobster in it for? Well, absolutely no reason, just to make up the numbers. But you do always have to have shepherds. We have them in our nativity, which we did up at the school, and they're an important part. But why? Why are they included in the story? Why did the writer of the Gospel think that it was important to include this piece about the shepherds. I mean, they're only mentioned in one of the Gospels. They're only mentioned in Luke in the passage that we've read. They're left out of Matthew. In fact, Matthew does talk about Jesus' birth, but doesn't say anything about the shepherds. And Mark and John don't record the nativity at all. At least that's what I thought until I was here this morning and Martin put us right. So yes, Luke chapter 2 verse 8, and there were shepherds living out in the fields nearby, keeping watch over their flocks at night. And perhaps we can imagine the scene. And I say, if you've been to our nativity up at the first school, you would know that they would be sitting around a fire and warming their toes, and the sheep would be nearby. Maybe they'd be in a pen, maybe they'd be in some sort of enclosure, or maybe they were just loose, but there were people there watching to make sure that they didn't get into any harm, that they weren't attacked by any wild animals, and of course there were thieves. And so these shepherds would be out in the fields, sleeping, chatting, wondering what the hopes were for Bethlehem FC in the next match. They would be, it sounds a real pastoral scene, doesn't it? Well, what was the reality of being a shepherd? Well, actually, it was a hard life. It was a 24/7 job. You didn't clock off when you were a shepherd. You were looking after those sheep all the time, day and night. You'd probably be away from home for long periods. The shepherds would be out in the fields, searching for pasture for the sheep, and that wasn't an easy job in that sort of terrain. And what was worse was that that work made them ceremonially unclean. You remember the Jews had laws about what people were able to do and what they weren't able to do without becoming unclean. And the work of a shepherd, because they were working with the sheep, made them unclean. And because they were away from home and away from civilization, if you like, they didn't get much of a chance to go to the temple to be made ritually clean. So shepherds were looked down upon by many of the people in the society. Many of them were actually hired men, hired hands. They weren't the owners of the sheep. So to some extent, they perhaps weren't that careful, or they didn't care that much for their charges. And in John's Gospel, Jesus, of course, used the shepherds and sheep in many parables and teaching. And in John chapter 10, verses 11 to 13, he said, "I'm the good shepherd. The good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep. The hired hand is not the shepherd who owns the sheep. So when he sees the wolf coming, he abandons the sheep and runs away. Then the wolf attacks his flock and scatters it. The man runs away because he is a hired hand and cares nothing for the sheep." So yeah, many of the shepherds would have been hired hands. They weren't the owners, and so perhaps they weren't that careful about the sheep. And because they were away from perhaps the charge of the shepherds and the owners themselves, they had quite an opportunity for dishonesty. And actually quite a number of the shepherds had that reputation. Reputation for perhaps stealing, trespassing on other people's land, taking pastures that didn't belong to them, maybe selling things that didn't belong to them. So shepherds, well, they had a bit of a bad rap, really, a bad reputation. And people were warned about buying stuff from them. You wouldn't want to buy from a shepherd because the goods would likely be hooky. And in fact, there were specific laws preventing them from buying things like milk, wool, and young kids from shepherds. And shepherds were thought to be perhaps not that reliable, so they weren't allowed to testify in court as witnesses. So shepherds had a bit of a lowly life. They were poor, they were tended to be uneducated, and they had a poor reputation. They were shunned by many people. and they were unclean both spiritually and physically. They lived out of doors for much of the year, and it wasn't unusual then for them to be gathered on a hillside, keeping watch over their flocks by night, making sure their sheep came to no harm. These particular shepherds around the town of Bethlehem may well have been looking after sheep that were going to be used as sacrifices in the temple in Jerusalem, because that was only something like 10 miles to the north of where they were. It's quite fitting, actually, when you think about it, isn't it? They were looking after sheep which were used as a sacrifice in Jerusalem. Jesus came, and he was going to be a sacrifice in Jerusalem too. So shepherding really was a common occupation. It was a bit unskilled. The people were poor. So why were they included in the story of Jesus' birth? Well, these shepherds were about to get the shock of their lives. One minute they're lying around, maybe dozing, talking over their day. Suddenly they're blinded by a terrific light, and they're addressed by the voice of an angel. And you can imagine the scene, maybe you can imagine the scene, their first reaction. Well, it says they were terrified. It says they were sore afraid, doesn't it, in the King James, I think. It's not a phrase we tend to use nowadays. I'm guessing it means that they were so afraid that it actually hurt. It was a really powerful light, a blinding light. And of course, in the Jewish history, that was associated with God. If you think about the Israelites in the desert, they followed a blinding light of fire in the day, or a cloud in the day, and fire at night. So maybe they associated this with God. Maybe God had come to actually punish them for perhaps the things that they'd been doing. They were sore afraid. They were terrified. But the angel, the good news angel, immediately puts them at their ease, if you like, by telling them not to be afraid, because the message that he's bringing for them is good news. The Greek for this bringing of good news is where we get the word evangelize, which we use for the act of spreading the good news of the gospel of Christ. And not only that, but this good news was going to bring great joy that is for all the people. The coming of Christ is good news for all, not just the Jew or the religious, but to all people. And what is that good news? That good news is that in the town of David, which is Bethlehem, a Saviour has been born to you. He's Christ the Lord. The fact that he said, actually, the town of David, again, is significant, because those shepherds, knowing their history, knowing the prophecies from the Old Testament, were expecting at some point to see a Messiah, somebody born in Bethlehem. If I read a few verses again, familiar verses from Micah chapter 5. "But you, Bethlehem, Ephrathah, though you are small among the clans of Judah, out of you will come for me one who will be the ruler over Israel, whose origins are from old, from ancient times. Therefore, Israel will be abandoned until the time when she who is in labor gives birth, and the rest of his brothers return to join the Israelites. He will stand and shepherd his flock in the strength of the Lord, in the majesty of the name of the Lord his God. And they will live securely, for then his greatness will reach the ends of the earth, and he will be their peace." So although this prophecy had been made something like 700 years earlier, they were still waiting for this Messiah to come from the town of David, from Bethlehem. And here were these shepherds on the hillside, and that's exactly what the angel was saying to them. He's to be their saviour. He's to be our saviour. And it says not just born to Mary and Joseph, but it says to born to you. born to the shepherds, born to all believers. He is Christ the Lord. He is the Messiah that they've been waiting for all these years. And the angel finishes his message to the shepherds by giving them a sign, a way they'll be able to find this Saviour. In verse 12 it says, "You'll find a baby wrapped in cloths lying in a manger." Wrapped in cloths, well that's not unusual actually. Babies were wrapped in cloths, tightly around them, so that apparently one of the reasons was it helped keep their limbs straight. Maybe it was the baby grow of the time, I don't know. But what was special was that he was lying in a manger. Not the wooden structure that we can see here. Probably it was more likely to be made of stone. It was more likely to be like a trough for feeding and watering the animals. And of course that wouldn't be associated with a house. That would be associated with somewhere where you keep animals. So a stable or other shelter. Now, after delivering this good news, the angel is joined by a heavenly throng, a great company of the heavenly host. Maybe that's not quite so easy for us to actually imagine, is it? I don't know. Can you bring up a picture of that, a mental picture? The word host is used to refer to an army. So this is God's heavenly army, if you like. And we perhaps think of them praising God in song. But here it sounds as though they were chanting in unison. Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace to men and women, on whom his favour rests. So not everyone was going to receive God's peace, only those pleasing to God. Well, the heavenly hosts disappear back to their abode in heaven. And the shepherds are left alone on that hillside. You can imagine, well, what do we do now? Was it all a dream? Did we all have the same dream? Well, there's only one way to find out. Let's head down to Bethlehem. See if we can find this one who the angels were talking about. So they left the hillside and their sheep to go into Bethlehem. We don't know whether they abandoned the sheep, whether they left somebody in charge. Doesn't really matter, does it? That's not important. Their mission was to go to Bethlehem and find that manger. So they went and they checked out all the stables, looking for one that actually had a baby in it. And lo and behold, there they found him. The infant Messiah lying in a manger because there was no room in the inn. So the direction that the clue really that the angels had given to the shepherds turned out to be exactly true. So they had no real reason for doubting the rest of the angel's message. The baby was indeed the Messiah, the Christ Lord they'd been waiting for. And it says that they left to spread the word concerning what they'd been told about this child. I think in earlier versions it's a bit more explicit about the fact they'd gone out and told all the people everything that they'd been told, all that they'd seen. They were witnesses to this baby. And they couldn't wait to spread that good news. And it says that their enthusiasm and the words amazed all those who heard about it. And the final scene in the drama is the shepherds returning. Not sure whether that means returning to their flocks or to their homes, but what we are told is that they were rejoicing. They were praising God, trying to make sense of all that they'd seen and heard. Well, of course, that scene is, that account is very familiar to us, isn't it? We naturally return to it every year. And it can be difficult for us to learn new things from that familiar story. And we perhaps that's why we've been trying to actually attack the story from different perspectives. So what can we learn from the shepherds? Why were they important? Well, why did God choose to reveal, first of all, that good news about Jesus through these lowly shepherds? Because actually they were they were outcast from society in a way, weren't they? They were lowly, they were uneducated, they were unclean. Why would he choose to use people like that? Well, it seems clear, doesn't it, that God was trying to make a point here. Because the gospel, the good news about Jesus, was for all people. It wasn't just for the Jew, but it was for the Jew and the Gentile. It wasn't just for the rich and the powerful. It was for the poor in society too. It wasn't just for people who are good. It was for people who are bad as well. It wasn't just for men. It was for men and women. In Romans chapter 3 verse 23 it says that everybody's got an equal need for that Saviour because all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. All have sinned. So this good news about Jesus was for all. And the impact would have been much greater coming from lowly, you know, the man in the street, if you like, the man on the, I can't remember where the omnibus was, but you know what I mean. It would have been perhaps quite different if it had just been revealed to the rulers and the Jewish priests and so on. The message would perhaps not have been the same as it went out to the man in the street. But as it was, these lowly shepherds were the first evangelists to spread the good news of Jesus. It wasn't just left to angels and to preachers. God doesn't discriminate between people when it comes to Jesus. Wouldn't it be wonderful to live in a world where mankind doesn't discriminate? Where we no longer judge others by the colour of their skin, or their heritage, or even their gender? God spoke to these shepherds in a hugely direct and a wonderful way, didn't he? Leaving them in no doubt about his power and his glory. And as a result of that, their response was immediate. But of course he continues to speak to us today, doesn't he? Probably not with the addition of a heavenly host, which is perhaps why we find it a little, perhaps difficult to picture it. But he speaks to us perhaps in a quiet whisper, which we can choose to ignore or to obey. And of course, the correct response is obedience, isn't it? In fact, the responses to the good news of Jesus are all to be found in that passage. We just run through them. Great joy in verse 10. Praise in verse 13 and 14 and 20. Curiosity to confirm the truth. The shepherds wanted to make sure that what they'd been told was true, so they immediately went out to follow up that news. Amazement, the amazement of the people who'd heard the news from the shepherds. The fact that they wanted to tell others, the first thing they wanted to do was go and tell others that good news. And thoughtful meditation, contemplation. Mary in verse 19 treasured those things and contemplated them in her heart. Nowhere in that story is there any hint of disbelief. Yet sadly that seems to be the principal response in our world today, doesn't it? The news of Jesus' birth is as exciting for us today as it was for the shepherds. Yet so many people today are missing the point. Perhaps that's why we do have lobsters in nativity plays. Well, thank God that we've been able to celebrate the good news in all of our Christmas activities. Especially those where we've been spreading the good news outside the church. And if you think back over these last couple of weeks, we have had some great opportunities, haven't we? 24 doors, where we've been and visited all sorts of people around the town. And in some places, we have been really welcomed. We went to the Bull and the Cherry Tree early this week. It was on Monday evening, I think. And we got rapturous reception there, which was absolutely brilliant. We've had Dickens, of course. We've had the outdoor nativity for the young folk up at the school. We've had Christmas cracked. We've had older children brought into the church here to hear the real Christmas story. And we've, of course, had our own carol services. It's been a great opportunity, hasn't it, to get out and spread that news. And what we pray really is that God will work in the hearts of those who heard that good news. Those who were singing along with the carols in the public houses. Those that we met in the clubs. Those that we saw at the nativity and out on the street. We do pray that they too will get the real point. And that they too will be excited by the news of Jesus. Amen.